Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to call to order the special meeting of the Board of Trustees for Fox Hollow Infrastructure Financing District this Monday, December 1st, 2025, at the offices, or at 4 p.m. at the offices of York Howell in South Jordan, Utah. Let's do a roll call for our minutes today. My name is Tom Jolly, and I am District Counsel.
Shanna Bedard, District Counsel, Paralegal.
Scott Dunn, Patterson Homes.
And Scott, you're a board member,
A board
correct?
member and secretary.
Okay, great.
Mitch Vance, I'm board member and chair.
Steve Peterson, board member.
Curtis Walty is ProNova Holdings 4 and 5. I think I'm a trustee.
Correct. Ed, do you want to introduce yourself? We can see Ed. Can you hear us? So, Ed Bailey, board member, is on, and trustee is on as well, but is having technical difficulties with his microphone.
And John Hatfield just joined as a board
Okay.
member.
Could we, John, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, John Hatfield, owner of
Thanks. You're a board member as well, John.
Yeah, I'm a board member. Thank you.
Did Brendan introduce himself? Brendan?
Yep, and this is Brendan Campbell from Pinnacle Consulting, district accountant.
Sam Elder with DA Davidson, underwriter.
This is Adam Daly with Gilmore Bell, bond counsel to the district.
And we also have Lindsay Nevon from
Harry.
Harry Holmes. Thanks. Okay, let's move on. We're going to follow our agenda today. We do have one quick consent item to approve the draft minutes of the board meeting held on October 30th. So that was provided in the board packet. Does the board have any questions on those meetings or minutes? Okay, do we have a motion to approve the board meeting held on October 30th, 2025 for the district?
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye or yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes by quorum of the board. We're now going to move to our action items. The first action item is to consider Resolution 2025-07 to authorize the issuance and sale of the special assessment bonds. I'm going to turn the time over to Adam Daly of Gilmore Bell to walk the board through this resolution.
Thanks, Tom. So this resolution, as Tom mentioned, would authorize the district to issue a maximum amount of 17,900,000, or sorry, 17,926,000 in special assessment bonds, and that number ties out to the maximum assessment we're able to impose within the district area. That's subject to a number of maximum parameters, such as a 12% maximum interest rate, a 31-year maximum maturity, and a maximum discount from par of 5%. Additionally, the other thing that this resolution does is it authorizes the forms of several documents that will need to be completed and finalized in connection with the transaction. Pertinent to this resolution are the bond indenture, a continuing disclosure agreement or CDA, a bond purchase agreement or BPA, and then also the offering document that will be provided to investors. So that's the preliminary limited offering memorandum and the limited offering memorandum. Any questions about any of that?
Okay, thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Do we have a motion to adopt resolution 2025-07 for Fox Hollow Infrastructure Financing District to authorize issuance of the special assessment bonds as so stated?
I'll motion as such.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye or yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes by quorum of the board. Let's move to our second action item, which is to consider adoption of tentative operating and capital budgets for calendar years 2025 and 2026, and to set a public hearing to take comment on those budgets. We've got Brendan from Pinnacle here to go over those budgets and answer any questions that the board may have. Turn the time over to you, Brendan.
All right, thank you. Can you all see the financial statements that I'm sharing on the screen?
Yep.
Awesome. Just to give you a little bit of background of what we're doing here, as a government entity in the state of Utah, there are certain budgetary statutes that we have to adhere to. And so we do have to, on an annual basis, adopt a budget of the various funds, the idea being that you cannot, as a government entity, spend money unless you have adopted a budget and informed the public that you're going to do so. And so today we'll be going through that process of looking at a tentative budget, meaning it's a proposed budget, it's not a final budget. So we will go through that today, and then no sooner than 7 days from today, we will have then another meeting and a public hearing and adopt a final budget. And so whatever we're approving today can still be adjusted as needed, but we will finalize later at the next meeting. I'm going to blaze through this presentation. Please, if any point you have questions, just stop me and I'm happy to go over those. So essentially what we have built into the tentative budgets for 2025 and 2026 reflect the most recent financial model prepared by DA Davidson. And so if those numbers change, we can always amend the budgets and do things differently, but these were what was built into the last financial model. So looking here, we have our capital projects fund. If you're looking at the other sources and uses section here in the middle, you can see total bond proceeds of $14.117 million. Of those monies, there will be some that are used for cost of issuance, and that's the cost to take the bonds to the market and to sell those and all of the related costs. And that's currently estimated at $782,000 roughly. And then there's also some monies that are proposed to be set aside as part of some reserves in the debt service fund, as well as some monies for operational needs, administrative costs. And so you see a transfer out of those monies.
Those go into an escrow or something? What?
Yeah, what they go in, not an escrow, but they go in with the trust, the trustee. So the trustee who is charged with executing all of the post-transaction elements in terms of collecting monies or receiving monies and making payments on the bonds and those things, they are held with them in interest-bearing investment accounts.
Why wouldn't the full $14 million sitting there not be in an interest-bearing account as the same?
So all monies received by the trustee will go into interest-bearing accounts. And maybe I didn't say that clearly.
So all $14 million will go into an interest-bearing account, of which a $1.9 million will go into a separate account, which will be the daily costs or expenditure account, however you term that. Is that correct?
Yes, it will go into two different buckets, which I'll show you here shortly. One piece goes into the debt service fund, which is restricted solely for the use of repaying the bonds. And then the next piece is available for use of the administrative costs like accounting and legal and those pieces. And I'll show you those details as we get to the other funds, because this is just the capital projects fund. What this means is the money's come in here. And yes, there's the cost of issuance and the transfer to the other funds, but what's remaining in this capital project fund is what's available to reimburse and or pay for capital infrastructure. And so you see that 14 million nets down to about 11.4 million. That's what's then available to reimburse for those public costs. And so what
If
we've
you have
budgeted for.
11.4 and you have an interest bearing, you're going to have interest re revenue of say 3 to 5%, somewhere in that range.
That's
So
perfect.
that's not on listed on this fund, capital projects fund.
Not yet, for 2025. So in 2025, just given
Well, it
where
would be in
the
2026, correct?
yeah, just given where we're at this year and where we expect the closing, we do anticipate and did budget for some of that in 2026.
Rather than
Now,
calling it a transfer to other fund, it sounds like it's going out of our fund. Can you rename that as interest reserve for the
or capital account? Yeah, better get a better term. I agree with Curtis on that. If we get a more distinctive name on those so we understand them.
Sure. So what I can do is
Operating
retitle the
account.
transfer to debt service fund and transfer to general fund so that you can see those,
Okay.
so that they're more defined. Just using general accounting
Right.
titling, but yes, can for sure be more
Okay,
detailed
'cause it
in what
sounds
those
like
are
we're
called.
sending it off to something that's not related to our project when you say other fund.
And that's fair. So these books, just for clarity, as a government entity, we do keep our books on a modified accrual basis of accounting or fund accounting, where each bucket of money is held in a different fund. You have your three different funds. You have your capital fund, your debt service fund, and your general fund. And each fund has its own specific purpose, just like you would see in any typical government. But yes, to the layperson, yes, transfer to other fund may be confusing. So I'll change that titling to be very specific to transfer to debt service fund and transfer to general fund so that that's clear.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So what I've done, I'm just going to look at 2025 and 2026 together in each fund. the way I built 2025 is capacity that if all of those project funds were to be able to be repaid in 2025. I've budgeted for that in capital outlay in 2025, but I went ahead and reappropriated or rebudgeted for that in 2026. What that does is, again, this is budgeting, and this is to make sure that we're aligned with state law that we don't spend over our appropriations. So what this allows in budgeting in both years is that if you close the bonds and there's a developer reimbursement in 2025, you're fine. If that happens in 2026, you're fine, right? It gives you that optionality. So it may look like we're double budgeting, which is what we are, but we only anticipate that you would spend that money in one period or the other. It's not.
And the 1,921,000 going to the operating fund, how did it come up with that exact number versus, $2 million, for example, or $1,000,005?
Happy to talk about that. So let's jump up to the debt service fund. So the debt service fund of that 1.9, $1,862,631 is transferred from the capital fund to the debt service fund. And there's two reserves or two components, if you will, of those monies that are set aside. And they're very specific numbers. They're not just rounded numbers. Down here, you can see the ending of components of ending fund balance. Those reserves or those amounts that are set aside to the debt service fund, they include a capitalized interest amount and a debt service reserve amount. The capitalized interest amount is the set aside of the 2026 interest payment. So that's a calculated amount, which you can see here in 2026 is our expenditure. And then the debt service reserve is a component that's set aside that is pledged to and part of the repayment of the bonds. But it's a set aside that makes the bond buyer more comfortable with the deal, and willing to engage in that. Sam can certainly expand on that more if you have questions, but those are the numbers that were built in as the required reserve with this bond deal structure, as well as the capitalized interest for the 2026 payment. That makes sense.
Yeah, so you've got capitalized interest of 797, 611, but you've got bond interest of 697, 620. So it's off $9. I mean, it's small stuff, but it just, why?
Yeah, and I can make that 797, 611 as well. Just
It changes every time you move the date that we issue the bonds. So every time you move it back, we just moved it back to close on 12/30. That number just changed to 777,574.17, and then your capitalized expense fund is 59,000. So it just moves back because you're paying less interest on the next payment date because the payment dates are fixed in, December 1st. So if we continue to delay the day to date, that number is going to go down. But just note that you're going to make that payment slightly earlier by the time you close the bonds, right? So
Got it.
it's just a mathematical formula. It's the par amount of the bonds multiplied by the interest rate we sell it at. The other thing is if the interest rate is higher than what we've projected so far, that number is going to go up. If it's lower than what we've projected so far, it will go down.
Yeah, so ultimately, from a budgetary standpoint, we just want to make sure that whatever number we put in as an expense is higher than the number that you actually have. The good news is if things change and that number does go up, we would just come back and amend the budget so that you have the appropriate appropriations. So whatever we adopt here today, tentatively, and what we adopt final can be adjusted at a later meeting with an official motion by the board to in public hearing process. So we're doing the best that we can with the numbers that we believe them to be today, right? But they're ever changing, as Sam mentioned.
Thanks, Brian. Keep moving through.
All right. And so the last fund here is just the general fund. Again, from that capital project fund, there was the debt service amount of 1.8. Then there's also the general fund amount, which was 59,000. Those funds are available to cover the general operations, the administrative costs of the districts. So put a small amount in 2025. If the bonds close on December 30th, then the actual amount of expenditures will probably be zero. But put a small amount of budget in 2025 just in case something were to be spent and expensed in 2025. And then put a placeholder budget in 2026 of $50,000, which is a standard operating budget that you would see in a public or in a infrastructure financing district. Certainly, those costs are used as needed and typically used on an hourly basis by your various consultants. Any questions on that?
No.
That's generally what I have for you today. I'm happy to answer any questions about the general fund or anything else that may linger. If there's any questions after this meeting and you want to follow up and just have a one-on-one, I'm happy to do that as well. If there's a deeper dive you'd like to do.
Thanks, Brendan.
Is this being sent to us, this budget?
Yes, Ed, it was in your board meeting notice that we sent
Oh, the one today.
into your no.
It was sent on
It was sent last week. So there's a OneDrive link that has all the documents we're talking about today.
Okay, I didn't open that one.
Okay, well, if we have no further questions on the budget, do we have a motion approving the 2025 and 2026 tentative budgets for the district and setting a public hearing to take public comment on those budgets?
I agree.
So we have Ed Bailey making the motion, as so stated. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. I didn't see who seconded it.
Steve Peterson.
Thank you. All in favor say aye or yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes by quorum of the board. We're now going to go to our third action item, which is to consider approval of an engagement agreement for investment banking services between the district and DA Davidson and authorizing the district chair to sign it. Again, the DADCO letter agreement was provided in the board packet. I'm going to turn the time over to Sam to see, let him answer any questions that the board may have on this letter.
Yeah, I think we've discussed this in detail on multiple occasions, but our underwriting fee for non-rated debt in this space is 2%. So it's just agreeing to our engagement for this bond underwriting. It's been baked into all the financing plans that have been circulated to the group since the beginning. Hopefully you had a chance to review it. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thanks, Sam. Are there any questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay, seeing none, do we have a motion approving the letter agreement for investment banking services between the district and DA Davidson and authorizing the district chair to sign?
I'll motion as such.
You have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. I think the motion was made by Scott Dunn with a second by John Hadfield. All in favor say aye or yes.
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 Thank you. Motion does pass by quorum of the board. We're now going to move to our fourth action item, which is to consider approval of an engagement agreement for engineering cost certification services between the district and the connection group. I'm not sure we have anybody on the line from the connection group. I do see a Zoom user. Is that, I don't know who that is. Whoever is dialed into the meeting as Zoom user, please identify yourself.
Just dialed in versus on a phone, you mean?
Yeah, it's just is they're on mute. It doesn't.
Oh, the Zoom user?
Yeah.
Ed, is that your dial-in?
Yeah, I'm on my laptop and on my phone because okay, I have no volume, no sound on my.
Okay, that's probably it then for that. But anyway, the district does have to engage a district engineer. The Connection Group is an excellent firm that provides district engineering services. And they'll be the ones to certify requisitions that are requested for reimbursement to the developer to utilize the bond proceeds. So the district has to have a district engineer. So when we recommend the Connection Group. Are there any questions?
Is Talisman involved in this as the engineering group for the project?
Yeah, I think Talisman's doing all the stuff on the sewer improvements, Ed, in terms of the actual engineering and designs and stuff like that of those things. I know I've seen stuff from them. The Connection Group is more just a district engineer where they're actually going to certify the costs incurred and allowing the trustee to disperse the funds for those eligible costs. So they're more in, to try to make sure that we're following the rules of the IRS to keep these things tax exempt.
They're more an audit function.
Yeah, they're kind of more of an audit function. They actually provided the benefit study as well as the engineer's estimates that are needed for, statutory requirements. But yeah, they're not doing the engineering for each of your individual developments or the actual sewer lift station. That's probably being done by Talisman. I think I've seen their name.
Talisman and Zoom, right? So this is just for the district to check the work of
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, the district did enter into what's called an acquisition and reimbursement agreement, which is part of the standard document package. An application is filled out when you need to get when the district needs to get funds. The connection group will help with the preparation of those applications and with the backup documentation to make sure that the district funds are district eligible and they provide a certification. So that's what is required. But as Sam said, they're not. Think of this as a draw request under a construction loan.
So
Are
they're
there any
the
further
independent
questions?
auditor of the draw request and approve that and say it's okay to pay, basically.
Yeah, they certify, they have to issue a certification to the bond trustee that the district funds that are being released are eligible and certified costs. So, do we have a motion approving the proposed engagement letter from the Connection Group to provide engineering services to the district and authorizing the district chair to sign?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye or yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes by quorum of the board. Let's move to our fifth consent item, which is to approve engagement agreement for accounting services between district and Pinnacle Consulting Group and authorizing the district chair to sign. Again, Pinnacle's engagement agreement was provided in the board packet. The district has to have a district accountant. And they also have to provide a certification when a requisition request comes through. Brendan's here to answer any questions on the engagement letter if the board has any questions. Okay. Looks like there are no questions. Do we have a motion approving the engagement agreement from Pinnacle to act as district accountant, provide accounting services to the Fox Hollow Infrastructure Financing District, and authorizing the district chair to sign it?
I move as so stated.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye or yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes by quorum of the board. Let's move to our administrative non-action items. I have none listed. So, unless the board has further questions or something they want to discuss that doesn't require action, I think we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Or in the mail, letting you look at it.
Just the motion that was made, was that by Ed?
Back by
Curtis.
Ed.
Okay, by Ed. Thank you for the second by Scott Dunn. All in favor say aye or yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes by quorum. We stand adjourned. Appreciate everybody's time today.
Hey, thanks, everyone.